that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light. I don't know about you, but you may be seated. You can sit down. I don't know about you, but when it comes to this particular scripture, the first time I heard this scripture, it was kind of intimidating. And to some of you that were here last week, or you who really just study the word of God, it's a really intimidating statement in some regard. To some people, it is confirmation, but to some people, it is intimidating. Why? Because sometimes you don't feel like you're holy. And when you've been picked over in your life, it's hard to believe that you've been chosen. But I simply have come to the conclusion that you will become what you believe. Because if you don't believe it, you can't become it. And so I want to challenge you to believe the scriptures and believe the word. Here's where we're going to focus our attention on this particular scripture. Hebrews 13 and 15. Hebrews 13 and 15 declares, therefore, let us offer through Jesus Christ a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to him. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. What I want you to do, thank you. What I want you to do is, I want you, in this first particular section, I want you to get a pen if you need a pen. I believe our greeters may have a few pens for you today. I want to know, what is your why? What is your why? What is the thing or things that make you wake up early in the morning? What are the things that make you stay up late? What is your why that you believe for? When you get into a hard place or a turbulent place, a place where you want to give up, what is your why? You should be writing while I'm talking. Write down your why. We're going. Write down your why. What is your why? When times get tough, what is the thing or things that motivate you? When times get stale and stagnant, what reignites your passion? I want you to write down your why. I'll give you another 30 seconds to write down your why. Then I'm going to share with you what my whys are. What is your why? I love silence. Y'all don't like silence. I like silence. I like quiet. I like walking in the house and it's quiet. No kids. No, nothing. Peace and quiet. Your why. What is the thing that you're grateful for? What is the thing that you're thankful for? What I have come to the conclusion is that our why is the thing that we're willing to sacrifice everything for. What is your why? I have something that I want to show you. I want to show you my why. It's that first image. Did you show my why? All six of us. Yeah. That's my why. Times get hard. Times get difficult. Lose passion. Lose desire. I go back to my why. Put my why back up now. Maybe your why is different, but my family is my why. What I'm thankful for. When I'm ungrateful, when I don't feel like I'm good enough, I can run home and Zay Zay hugs me and says, "Dad, you're the best dad ever." I was like, "I'm the only one you know." But thanks, bud. What is your why? See, because your why is the thing that you're willing to sacrifice for. It's the thing that will drive you. It's the thing that will motivate you. Some of you, your why, thank you. Some of you, your why is because of the way you grew up. You don't ever want to be put in that position again. So you do everything you can to make sure that you don't go back there, even in your mind. And I'm going to tell you that the way the world is right now, the way the circumstances is right now, the way challenges and the way how heartless people are today, you have got to make sure you have a why. Would you do me a favor and touch your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, do you have a why?" A why is also, let me share this with you. Your why, this is what I've discovered. Maybe not for you, but this is what I discovered. Sometimes God will put something in front of you for you to fight for. Would you show me the next person? If you follow me on social media, you probably saw this past weekend. Will you put the other picture up for me? A little over a year ago, Mason was born. Mason and Mariah was born. And he was placed in the NICU. His lungs hadn't developed. If you were here before, I preached a message about him. But I felt last week we were worshiping and we were singing, "Do It Again, Do It Again." And I really felt compelled to God took my, there's a line in the song, "He made a way. He made a way where there was no way." I was like, "Believe, hey, I see you do it again. You made a way." Hey, that thing was popping last week. See, that's why you shouldn't miss church, because you messed up. But in my mind, he made a way. How can you declare that and your mind not goes back to a moment in time where he made a way? Y'all know. And my mind went back. Woo, because I have a good memory of the things that he's done for me. I went back in my mind to that moment. That's my hand. That's my hand right there. That's my hand. When he was in NICU fighting for his life. And God dropped that in front of me. And I'm trying to figure out, God, why is this circumstance in front of us? Why is this challenge in front of us? We've never had it in this wise before. This came out of nowhere. We didn't know exactly what was going on, but we knew that, you know what? Only thing we could do was fight. And what I mean by fight is not with our fist. I'm talking about sometimes fighting means you listen. You listen to the doctors. You listen to what they say. You listen to the nurses. You stay right there. "No, I'm not leaving him." They said, sir, this is 24 hours. But, you know, I said, "No, I'm not leaving this side. I'm going to be right here." They said, "Sir, we don't have any cell phones in it." I said, "Okay, I put my cell phone up, but I still had the worship music on my cell phone. I was still praying. I had people all over the country praying for Mason. I was listening. I was praying. I was worshiping. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In every circumstance, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, I wasn't giving God praise or giving God thanks because it was in NICU. I was giving God praise. If found something to give God praise for. You know what? I shifted that thing. I said, you know what, God? I thank you for the doctors. I thank you for the nurses. God, you know what? Touch their lives. Make sure that the nurses don't get stressed out before whatever they're dealing with at, in their home. God, bring peace to their home, because I need peace in this. I don't need nobody giving my child more the wrong medication or anything. So touch them, God. I give you praise for their family. I give you praise. See, sometimes you have to shift your focus from your circumstance and give God praise. Find something to give him praise for. Father, I may not appreciate where I am right now, but I thank you for shoes on my feet. I thank you for breath in my body. You got to shift your focus, because the enemy wants you to focus on your problem and not praise. Now watch, I haven't said anything about how we praise, because sometimes we reduce praise to our activity in church. But you have to have a heart that's before God to say, God, I'll give you praise wherever I am. Now, listen, I am not talking about you walking through Walmart, doing flips. You become a liturgical dancer in Walmart. Father God, we give you praise. That's crazy. That's foolishness. Those type of people make me scared. But you have to have a heart that's always in tune, always available to say, God, I'll give you praise right here, right now, in my heart, in my spirit. I have a praying spirit. I have a praising spirit. I have a spirit that is always available to give God what he wants. Because the Bible declares he inhabits the praises of his people. So what I have discovered, listen, that God will use, he will use your why to build a bridge toward a greater relationship with him. I'll say that again. That sometimes your why, or the why of your life, is a bridge to building a relationship with him. You're focusing on the why. But the why is just the thing that God is going to use to reposition you in your relationship with him. Listen, okay, break it down on you. Some of y'all wouldn't pray unless you had some trouble. Some of you wouldn't come to church unless you had lost your job and somebody told you to Potter's house, they'd be praying for people to get jobs. Pastor Brady, let me tell you, she always be praying for people to get a job. Girl, you better get to the Potter's house, because guess what? There's favor on my church. You'll get a job. Some of us, unless we had some chaos, we wouldn't even give God the... I need somebody to talk back to me. I need some real people in the church today. That sometimes it's not until you have some pain that you reposition yourself to praise. And we've all been there. We've all had some difficulties. We've all had some challenges in our lives. But God uses those things at times. He uses those moments, those trivial moments, to reposition you, because above all, he wants to be in a relationship with you. He doesn't want to be in a relationship with your wife. He wants to be in a relationship with you. He doesn't want to be in a relationship with your mother. He wants you to have a relationship with him. And what Pastor read last week about all, it stuck out to me, with all the men in the Bible, with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David, that men, it's time for you, your wife or your girlfriend or whoever, stop letting them do it all by themselves. See, because we have reduced praise to some a feminized version of what praise is. So we say, well, she just expressive like that. She just cry all the time, man. She did cry. Man, she cried the house. She put on worship music. She cried the house. She read the Bible. I ain't in the Bible all like that, man. But if you're going to be a leader, you have got to be a worshiper. I said, if you're going to be a leader, how are you going to strategize? How are you going to have vision and dreams? Because there's some things that God will put in your pathway that you will not be able to put together. There's certain things that you will have to rely on the wisdom of God. Proverbs 3:5. Certain things that will come your way that God is looking to hear your voice. God is looking to see your hands lifted. God is looking to hear your voice in the morning. I didn't learn how to praise God from my mama. I learned it by watching my father, a trustee. I grew up in the Baptist church, praise the Lord. Don't act like because you had the Potter's house, you ain't grow up Baptist either. I learned what praise looked like, what worship looked like from my daddy. I saw my daddy lift his hands and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. Every single morning growing up as a kid, my father would grab our hands. And I'm sorry if you didn't have that experience growing up, but I have to tell my truth. My father would grab our hands and say, Lord, I praise you this morning. It's 5:00 in the morning. I got slob as a 12-year-old. I got slob still. Hey, I mean, daddy, come on, man. 5:00 in the morning. He said, yep, we going to pray every morning. And let me tell you, every morning for 18 years, we got in a circle and we pray. He said, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for everybody in this circle. God, touch my daughter, touch my son. Father, I give you all the glory, all the honor. I saw him praise. And because I saw him do it, I knew that it was okay for me to do it. There's some things in your life that you don't realize are okay until you see somebody else do it. And we've reduced this down to just a genre of praise, to a genre of music. We've reduced it down to just saying a certain style or certain this. But if you don't understand what it is, you don't realize that the what of it will always outlive the how of it. God wants a relationship with you. I want you to lay hands on yourself and say, self, God wants a relationship with you. Okay, keep your hand on yourself and say, self, don't become self-righteous. You can do a little bit better than you're doing right now. God wants a relationship with you. Selah. In the story. God wants a better relationship with you. We all could carve out a little bit more time to spend in God's presence. We all can make time, because what we make time for what we want to make time for. This ain't in your notes. But say, make time, write it down, for God. This week. You're trying to figure out something. You're trying to figure out, man, why is it so much chaos? Why is there so much friction? Sometimes it ain't the devil that's stirring up the confusion. It's because sometimes you are not aligned with him. And it's a sign that you need to realign yourself with the word of God. It's sometimes a sign that you need to recalibrate your own spirit to make sure you're in tune with him. Okay. Y'all all right? Okay. What is praise? We're going to go through it real quick. Praise is seeking God. End of story. It's not just, Lord, I love you, Lord, I praise the Lord. In that, whatever you're saying to God is seeking him. Praise is moving. It's moving toward God. It is seeking you. Wherever you are, God, here I am. Come near me. And if you're going to build a relationship with God, you have got to understand that in order to build a relationship, you must be in his presence. As a Christian, as a believer, that you must be in his presence. You say, okay, well, I've done that. I've been by myself. I've had my Bible open, and I've tried to seek the presence, and I didn't feel anything. He didn't say anything to me. I don't know. It's just I heard the air conditioning in my house. You have to practice. You have to continuously do that. You have to continuously build a rhythm in your own spirit and in your own mind to be in God's presence. It takes faith to do anything. When I first started my own self, my own relationship with God, I was by myself. Sometimes I would be with my friends, and we would pray or we would praise God. We would do whatever, and there was a stillness and there was a calmness and there was a peace that just came over us. And we couldn't explain it. But we knew because of what the scriptures unfolded for us that this had to be the presence of God. Some of you say, whoo, man, when I come to the potter's house, man, they're singing, man, I just get chills all over, just chills. I don't know what that is, but it could be the presence of the Lord. I'm just being honest. But praise is seeking God. It gives you access to God's presence. To praise God means to commend God, express approval, or to glorify. To commend God, I may be moving too fast. To praise is to commend, to express approval, and or to glorify God. To commend means to entrust care, preservation, and to recommend as worthy of confidence or notice. What do you mean by that? To commend looks like this. Got a phone call from a friend of mine this week. He says, hey, man, I need to know who is your barber. I said, okay, why? He said, because I need a haircut and my sons need a haircut. Hook me up, bruh. So I told him, I said, all right, cool. I'll text it to you. Let me tell you about my barber, though. He's on time. He don't triple book people. He don't overcharge you. He has a nice attitude. Man, he's just a good guy. And guess what? You know what, above everything? He's consistent. He pays attention. He's not on his phone. He's not talking in your ear. He don't smoke cigarettes. And you know cigarettes get in the hands. And when somebody's trying to do your beard and stuff, you can smell cigarettes. I don't like cigarettes. He's professional. You know, he ain't ghetto. He is professional. I don't care where he's nice. He's professional. He loves his wife. He loves his kid, man. He's just a good guy. What was I doing? I was commending him. Why? I was telling my friend, you can trust that when you go to him, there's certain things that you don't have to worry about. You're going to make sure that what he was designed to do, what he was called to do, he's going to do that, and you won't have no issues with it. You can trust him because of my recommendation. Okay, ladies, it's the same way with you. You know your girlfriend say, girl, where you get your pedicure at, girl? Your toes look good. Well, Kim Long-Gee, let me tell you about Kim Long-Gee now. Kim Long-Gee is going to hook your toes up, girl. Listen, you can go there in the middle of the day. You can go there at night. No matter when you want to go, she's going to be on time. She's professional. She's going to do her thing, girl. I've been going to her for 5 years. She's going to hook you up. Make sure you tip her real good now, because if you give her not a good tip, she's going to look at you a little funny and ask for her money. Let the church say amen. Don't act like your friends don't call you and ask you, girl, where you get your weave at, girl? What do? You're commending. You're telling that person that where I'm directing you, that you can trust that this place is going to provide you the service that you need. It's the same way with God. I can talk to you and tell you, listen, there's a moment in your life where you don't feel like, listen, that you're going to make it through. But let me tell you, you got to trust God. You got to trust God right in the middle of it. I know it doesn't look right, but God specializes in the impossible. Listen, I'm going to stay connected with you because right in this moment, right in this time, it may seem tough. But let me tell you, even when it seems turbulent, we can hold on to God. We can make sure. Sometimes God makes us step out of the boat of our own comfort when he brings situations in our life. Let me tell you, girl, I lost my dad a few years ago and he comforted me. I didn't think I was going to be able to move on. But let me tell you, I'm standing here today because guess what? God held me through the situation. And as God held me, he's going to hold you. Guess what? Sometimes, what are you doing right there? You're speaking to your other friend or someone to tell them that you can commend God, that you can trust God in your situation. And what I've discovered, that you can't talk about him and not eventually talk to him. You can't. What did I say? I said, you can't talk about him and not go into your own worship, not go into your own praise and say, God, I thank you because I didn't think I was going to make it out. I didn't think I was going to get another job. I put in 20 applications and nobody called me back. And when I was on my way to the unemployment office, I got a call on my cell phone when I was in the line and God made a way. I need somebody to shout, God made a way. Is there anybody in here that had God come in right in the nick of time for you? That God provided something? Well, if that's you, I need you to make some noise right here and right now. Don't you leave me out here by myself. I need you to give God a praise right now and shout thank you. Be seated. Commend God. Commend God. Who do we praise? Who do we praise? That other area is just for some notes for you, for you to take it home, to witness to somebody else, or to go back over in your own Bible study. But who do you praise? The Bible says in Psalms 146 that he is the maker of heaven and earth and the sea and everything in it, in them. He remains faithful forever. We express, what does this do? This expresses approval and a favorable judgment. Now, to express approval to God doesn't mean that you are Lord over God. It is express approval simply means it comes with a personal relationship. It means that you can vouch for this person. I express approval. God, you know what? Have your way. Sometimes it just looks like you could just write down, Lord, have your way. You know that you have some history with God. You know that that things in your life don't always turn out the way you want them to turn out. But you know what, Lord? Have your way. Listen, I'm not trying to be in control of this situation. I'm not trying to be Lord in this situation, but Lord, have your way. Not my will, but your will be done. If you're going to be in a relationship with him, you got to understand that sometimes he'll flip the script on you. Sometimes you might be going in one direction and God may say, nope, that's the wrong direction. Guess what? Because you don't know what's behind that. I know that looks like a great door. I know that looks like a great opportunity, but you don't understand that that was a trap of the enemy. Anybody ever saw something that was so great, but it really was a trap? God will redirect your attention. And sometimes we get frustrated, we get mad because we thought that this was the moment. We thought that this was the time. But guess what? Even when you're frustrated with God, you got to turn around and say, Lord, have your way. I know that if I thought that was good, I know you got something better. Y'all know. Somebody shout, Lord, have your way. See, when you say, Lord, have your way, it takes you out of control. And some of y'all control freaks, y'all over here. Y'all like to be in control of everything. You want to be in control of your life, of your dreams, of your goal. But I have discovered that you can have dreams and you can have goals. You can have aspirations. And guess what? You can fulfill those things. But you better make sure that you leave some clear space. That you better leave some space for God. You better leave an open canvas where God can write the history of your life. Because if you think that God is just in what you're doing, you're sadly mistaken. I would not be in Texas right now. I would not be standing before you right now if God would have fulfilled every desire of my heart. There are certain things that he cannot fulfill on your behalf because it's not a part of his plan. But all you got to do is say, Lord, have your way. I need you to testify to somebody around you and say, tomorrow, you need to tell the Lord, Lord, have your way. When you go into that job where you already feel like there's some friction, that you already feel like there's some issues, you ought to say, Lord, have your way. Lord, I can't fix it. I can't change it. I know that they're thinking they have a certain perception of me, but Lord, have your way. Lord, I know my relationships are funny right now. It's fickle right now, but Lord, have your way. It releases you of the stress to fix everything out, but Lord, have your way. Sorry, I feel a little preachy right now. I know you got your notes in front of you, but I need you to shout, Lord, have your way. What does that do? That beckons God to say, guess what? There's one of my sons and there's one of my daughters that needs me to fix something in their life. See, some of you, you've talked to your friends, you've talked to your family, you've talked to a therapist, you've talked to some friends, you've talked to your pastor, you've talked to everybody, but have you talked to God and say, Lord, have your way? Sometimes you got to shift your focus and say, Lord, I'm going to humble myself. I can't fix this. I ain't strong enough. I know I got degrees. I know I got this. I know I got that. But Lord, I can't fix it. I need you. I desire you. I want you above everything. And Lord, I need you to have your way. I say yes to your will. I'll say yes to your way. Not just because I want you to fix this, but because I realize that you're everything I need. You're everything that I want. You're everything that I desire. And in you, you hold the pathway of life. And so I give you praise right now. Somebody shout, Lord, have your way. You're trying to fix it and make a relationship work. You're trying to make the friendship work. But you ought to say, Lord, if this ain't the person for me, Lord, I need you to have your way. Because I done made enough mistakes. I done made enough that I can't afford to be in another marriage and it not work. So Lord, have your way. I can't make another investment on my own. I need the Lord. Somebody test three people around you and say, Lord, have your way. 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 Somebody open up the doors in the back and say, Lord, have your way. I just did that as an act of faith. But some of y'all have closed your spirit to God. But when you say, Lord, have your way, it opens up the doors of your spirit to say, Lord, have your way. If you're wrestling with an addiction, if you're wrestling with a problem, you ought to say, Lord, have your way. If it's cocaine, if it's marijuana, if it's alcohol, you ought to say, Lord, have your way. Come on, somebody take about 15 seconds and declare to God and lift your hand. Open up your mouth and say, Lord, have your way. It wasn't just grandma's story. It wasn't just grandpa's story. But Lord, I need you to have your way.
I know it's not modern. I know it seems uncouth. I know it seems like it's not intelligent. But sometimes you gotta just say, Lord, have your way in me. Have your way in me. Because praise changes you before it changes your situation. Lord, have your way. I know some of y'all right now, you got some children, they got some problems, they got some issues, and guess what? You're trying to figure out how we gonna do this, how we gonna do that, how we gonna maneuver this, because it's the one that you love. Some of you, it's your why. And guess what? You want to say, Lord, have your way. Some young people in here right now, you're trying to figure out what your purpose is. You don't even know. You're in college. They ask you what your major is going to be. You don't even know what your major is. You just general education. Why? Because you haven't figured out your purpose. But I want to tell you, all you got to do is have enough courage and have just a little bit of faith and say, Lord, have your way. Direct me. Keep me. Somebody shout one more time. Say, Lord, have your way. Be seated. Got 3 minutes. I'm sorry, I just get really excited. Because some of us would be further along if we would just move out of the way. You are standing in the way. You possibly could be standing in the way of your own blessing. Saying, Lord, have your way, excuses you from being the center of attention and puts God where he belongs, right in the middle of it. All right, okay. Let's do this real quick. Okay, so what I had them to do is only leave blanks for 1, 2, and 4. So I'm gonna, see, I got caught up in that 3. That's why I wanted to go ahead and fill in the blanks, but I read it anyway. I want you to go to section 4. Why do you praise God? See, listen, I didn't say how. I said, why? Because the why gives your expression weight. Your why, and I have this written down, I wrote it down, is the substance of your expression. It gives it color, it gives it weight, it gives it life. Jesus said to the Pharisees, and he quoted Isaiah, you honor me with your lips, but your heart. You're going through this ritual right now. You just come to church because your mama told you you should come to church. Okay, get back in church. No, you need a relationship with God. Come on through them doors, but listen, at the end of the day, just coming don't change you. It's just a checklist on your, man, I went to church today, man. There's a word in the house, but did the word get in your heart? Did the word challenge you and motivate you to move forward, to do something, to struggle with something, to say, guess what? I got to choose God's will over my will. That's the purpose. But why? Why? It gives it weight. Gives it weight. It gives it substance. It gives it life. Why do we praise? We have it right here. Why do we praise? Because it opens the door for God to work for you, in you, and through you.
You need Bible for that? Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. Watch this. According to the power that works in us. You have power that you know not of. Because your praise is limited to the how and not the why. Look at it. Opens the door for God to work for you, in you, and through you. Number two. Why should we praise? Because it turns our focus off of us toward God. In Second Chronicles, they were trying to fight a battle. And they realized that the armies that they were facing was much greater than them. And so they said, guess what? Lord, we don't know. We're going to lose this without you. We're going to lose everything we have if you don't come through. So guess what? All we can do, listen, our weapons are not going to be great enough to fight this battle. But guess what? We turn our eyes toward you. Eyes speak of focus. It speaks of visibility. It speaks of vision. My eyes are not on the situation, but we turn our eyes. The armies turn their eyes toward the heavens. And they focused in on God, and God won the battle for them. You ought to turn, praise, turns your focus off of us toward God. Number three, why should we praise? It expresses our relationship with God. And praise gives depth to our faith. David said in Psalms 18, you are my God. I can't speak for everybody else, but you are my God. My God takes ownership. You are Lord. You are Lord over my life. It expresses that relationship. The depth of that relationship is you're mine. And I am yours. As a matter of fact, I'm more yours than you are mine. Because it was by loving kindness did you draw me. I wasn't trying to choose you, but you chose me. Why? Because 1 Peter 2:9 said, well, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You didn't choose him. He chose you. You think you walked down the aisles, gave the preacher your hand, Lord, I give my... No, it was something he already did because of his word that touched your heart, that drew you to him. The question is, in the council, in the heavenlies, with all the cherubims and seraphims, can God say that you are his? Yeah, we know by the revelation of salvation, yes, that you are his, but is there a relationship? You have relationships in your life. You have relationships with people. But God should be God and friend. He told Abraham, listen, Abraham is a friend of God. Noah was a friend of God. David was a friend of God. In other words, when I am a friend, you don't find out last. I give you private information that everybody don't know yet. See, some of you are missing out on the friendship. He's Lord. He's God. Yep, he's God. You go through the ritual. He's God. But guess what? When you have a relationship, a friend, a real friend, will call you ahead of time and say, hey, man, everybody don't know this yet, but I need you to come through because I'm about to propose tonight. There's secret information that you get that everybody ain't privy to because they're stuck in religion and not relationship. They would rather go through the religious duty versus have an authentic relationship. What we do here, what the Potter's House is here, is we are all about connecting the hearts of people to the heart of God. And what we do up here from the stage, what we do from a musical standpoint, from a worship standpoint, from a word standpoint, is to let you know that God wants a relationship with you. But it is up to you to take the tools to build that relationship.
Not to just say, I had a Bible study this week. Not just to say, I got a connect group. Not just to say, I came to Thrive. Not just to say, I came to Man Cave. Not to just say, I serve in the ministry. But all of these tools is for you to build an authentic relationship with you. I said it before, and I'll say it again. When you have a real relationship with God, Sunday becomes confirmation, just not new information. And God is drawing you. God is wooing you. God is allowing the pain that you're facing. He's allowing the situations that you're facing. He's trying to reroute you to say, guess what? Above everything else, I want a relationship with you. If I'm talking to you, say amen. Amen. Last but not least, it is a willing sacrifice. Many of you know that word sacrifice, and you try to stay away from it because sacrifice is really struggle. It's like not having enough and still having to make do with what you have. But this is not that type of sacrifice. I did research. You can research it too. This sacrifice simply is giving God what he wants. No questions asked. It's not saying, God, I'm giving you my last. I'm going to sacrifice this. This is all the meal that I have left, Lord. Do what you want. No, that is an element of sacrifice. But a willing sacrifice comes from a heart that says, Lord, what do I need to do today to please you? It is graduating to the point to say, God, I came to church today, and I know I'm going to receive something, but I brought you something too. It's the sacrifice of praise. It is saying, God, whether they sing my favorite song or not, whether Pastor Brady is preaching or not, whether it's raining outside, no matter what it is, no matter if I had a disagreement with you on the way in, God, I brought you something. Have you ever been at a family function where everybody's supposed to bring something and the person that was really supposed to bring the chicken? We got mac and cheese, candy yams, rolls, collard greens, sweet tea. But you, dear, forgot to bring the chicken. How could you forget to bring the chicken? Kroger, we just asked you to bring a rotisserie chicken. We didn't ask you to bake it. We didn't ask you to make it. All we asked you to do was to stop at Kroger and to pick up a rotisserie chicken. You know how awkward that is? Maybe that's how God feels when we come into his presence. That your mind and your heart is not positioned to say, God, I brought you something today. I didn't just bring my tithe. I didn't just bring an offering, but I came to bring you, your name, praise. I came to bring you something today. I know. Guess what, God? Even if the word ain't for me today, I brought you something. Somebody say, God, I brought you something. What did you bring? I brought him the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. My praise is not empty. I know what you've done for me. I know what you provided for me. I know how you made a way for me. And God, I just came to say thank you. Matter of fact, this week, guess what? I don't know. This week went by so fast. I don't even know. I mean, listen, I don't know what happened all this, but God, I just want to say thank you for sustaining me. It's the fruit of your lips, which means your praise cannot be silent. Yeah.
David says in 1 Chronicles 21 and 24, he was going through a trivial time. You could play softly. I will not be silent. I will always worship you. You back there? I will not be silent.
Yeah.
Worship you.
Do it again.
I will not be silent. I will always worship you.
All right, listen, listen. Play softly. Okay. David is going through a turbulent time with his people. He's king. He's Lord over everything. And he says in 1 Chronicles, he's trying to say, God, how can I fix this? God, what can I throw my money at? What can I do? What can I offer? What do I got to do? Some of you have been there. I don't know why we're going through this situation. I don't know why we're facing this. But God, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? You tell me what to do, I'll do it. What do I need to offer up? And David says, which I thought was very powerful, he says, he went to this man. He didn't know what to do, but he knew that if he could get in a place of praise and get in a place of worship and commune with God, there was no other place. The temple wasn't open. There was nowhere around. But he understood something, that there was something powerful about a threshing floor. That he needed a firm foundation. He needed to be and posture himself. So he says, guess what? Guess what? He went over to this man and said, man, sell me your threshing floor so I can build an altar. He said, what do I got to do to build an altar, God? What do I got to do to be by my, to move everything out of the way? I don't know what I got to do, God, but I got to build an altar to you. I got to build something. He built a physical altar, but your altar should be your heart. And he says this, which is so powerful. He says, sell me your threshing floor so that I can build an altar to the Lord to stop this epidemic. He looks at the man and said, I don't want a discount. I don't want it because I'm the king. I don't want you to give it to me free. I will pay full price for this threshing floor so that I can build an altar. Some of y'all are gonna get it. I don't want it on discount. I don't want nobody else to do it for me, but I will pay the price. Whatever it is, I'll pay. And this is why David did this, because he refused to give something to the Lord that didn't cost him anything. Your praise and your worship to God will cost you something. It may cost you some friends. It may cost you self-centeredness. It may cost you your ego. But it is worth it. I'm closing right here. So I'm home with my boys on Monday. Monday is my Sabbath. I'm home on Monday. I'm with my boys. And Mason and Mariah are at the age where they're just very clingy. They're just, you know, you put them down to play and do whatever, and they just want you, you know? And so I was on the phone, probably preaching to somebody, and Mason kept grabbing my leg, and it started annoying me, because when you're trying to focus and say something, don't act like your kids ain't never annoyed you. It's like, be quiet, okay? Could you not hear? So you know what I did? I said, you know what? Let me give him a cookie. He slapped the cookie out my hand. I said, what did you? And to put it on mute. Don't you stop. So I went over to the freezer and I got his favorite popsicle and I start breaking it up. I start opening it up and he was So I tried to break the popsicle off, put it in his mouth. He slapped it up. I said, no, this is getting out of control.
So he like a oatmeal cream pie. He likes oatmeal cream. So I'm just trying to overload him on sugar. I mean, to make it any worse. I mean, but at least it'll get him attention and make him run around like, Have you ever given your kids sugar? And they're normal, and then you give them sugar, and they're just like, that's what they do. So I'm trying to give him all his favorites, but the favorites ain't working. And so Zay walks over to me and said, Dad, all he wants is you. And I don't know about you, but that conversation that I was having, I said, man, I'll call you back. I said, Zay, what did you say? He says, Dad, he doesn't want the popsicle. Don't you see it on the floor? He don't want the popsicle. He don't want the oatmeal pie. He don't want the fruit snack. He wants you. And I picked him up. And the moment I picked him up, he looked down at the popsicle and said, I said, ain't this something? I give him the popsicle, he looked down, the fruit snack's still on the floor. And in that moment, I had the revelation. First, you seek the king. Wait, not dumb. Because you can't get the dumb unless you get the king. First you seek the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It was all his favorite stuff, but all he wanted was me. You're seeking his hand when you should be seeking his face. Because you can't enjoy the stuff if you don't have him. And maybe today, God brought you here today because maybe he just wants, maybe really the friction, the turmoil, everything is because you need him. Maybe today your thing is God just wants time with you. I've been knocking on your door trying to get your attention and you keep thinking it's something else, but I'm here because he's trying to get you to posture yourself and say, God, you know what? Even if you don't give me the stuff, I just want you. I know you need stuff. But everybody under the sound of my voice, I want you to stand. And for 1 minute, just 1 minute, the song that we sang, we're going to still do the tithe. We're still going to do the offering. We're still going to do the call to salvation. But for just 1 minute, I want you to lift up this song from a different place. I want you to lift up this song from a place that says, Lord, I understand my why, and I understand now that I need to give you praise right in the middle of my why. I need to give you praise right in the middle of my storm. Because I will not. Come on, lift it up. Every man, whether you can sing or not, lift it up. If you can't see, just lift your hands. Say, as long as I am breathing, I will all. Sing it again. We declare that you are Lord over our lives. We declare that as long as we're breathing, we will always worship you. Through every season, through every storm, in the middle at the hospital with a bad prognosis, we won't give you praise for everything, but in all things, we will always find something to be grateful for. Every man, every boy, every girl, we will find something to commune with you, because you are worthy of the worship, you're worthy of the glory, and you're worthy of the honor, you're worthy of the praise. And as I lift you up and as I magnify you, even in my home, even in my family, your presence, I prophesy over this church, over every person, that when you see God, for every person who's doubted the presence of God, who's doubted the stillness and the Holy Spirit and the power that works in us, I prophesy over you that every time you open up your lips with the fruit of your lips for the depths of your heart, God's going to invade that place. I want you to try me. Try him and see what he do it. I dare you to turn on your sound system, to turn on YouTube, to turn on something and lift up worship music. If you can't jump start it, let something jump start it for you. But turn that music off and say, Lord, I praise you right here. Well, watch the atmosphere change. Well, right in the middle of an argument, I want you to grab hands with your spouse and say, we need to pray and give God praise right in the middle of this. When you're looking at more bills than you have money, I need you to be able to say, Lord, I give you praise. Somebody would like to have the bills that we even cannot pay. But God, you're a provider. God, you're a keeper. God, you're a sustainer. And we trust you even in this hard place. The situation won't tear us apart, but it'll draw us closer. Receive my worship. Oh, all of my worship. Receive my worship. Oh, all of my worship. See, it's not real worship till God invades that place. It's not real worship. It's just praise. But praise is seeking God. And when he shows up, he unfolds worship. You can't worship without him. Woo! All of my worship. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe there's somebody in this place that says, you know what? I heard you, preacher. I heard you, Travis. I heard all you said today. But, man, I'm just